The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks, plus you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you. It's a New Year's Eve special edition version of a segment we like to call College to the Pros. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I hope you and yours had a very happy holiday. I did. I mean, happy holidays, really. But nah, man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
No, I appreciate that. I'm glad you had a happy holiday because mine was a friggin' nightmare. Let me paint the scenes for you, man. So we're having, you know, Christmas dinner and we're eating food and everything's great. And notice there's a little water on the floor. What the heck is that? Just pull a little water pulling on the floor. And I'm like, where is that coming from? I look up. It's not dripping from the ceiling. It's not coming from the wall. I'm like, where is this water coming from? And so I go in my garage and there's a puddle of water by my water heater on Christmas night. So I had to replace my water heater. We didn't have any hot water Christmas night. Yeah, that's how my Christmas went, man. I got a lump of coal. Must have been
well,
for
I hope
my
it's
bad
been
takes.
Good sense.
Oh, it's all taken care of now. Now I'm just, you know, I'm old and exhausted. I replaced it myself, which is fun. Saved me money, though. But It was an interesting endeavor. Longer story than we have time for on air. But that's how my Christmas went. But I'm glad you had a great time. But I hope also the audience appreciates. I just realized I got to bring up our commenters. I don't have them pulled up here, so I don't even know if anybody's commenting yet. Give me 1 second. We'll get them pulled up. Because I don't want anybody to fight me over missed comments like MN Thompson. No? Wasn't a good fight? I thought it was a good fight.
I thought it was a good fight. I mean, I was just happy that, and maybe this is going to come off the wrong way. I'm just happy there was a fight. Just because it's like we don't see that in today's day and age, and like every once in a while when it happens, like not saying it should happen every night,
right,
but like once in a while, just from an entertainment perspective, it's always good to see. So
I agree
even
with
though
you.
Even though Tyler did get thrown to the ground like a rag doll, it was still like, oh wow, there's an actual fight on an NBA court. Wow.
Yeah, I love chippiness, man. I love a little bit of that animosity because that brings me back to, hate to sound like an old man, but the old days when basketball was physical and people didn't like each other. Yeah. So yeah, it was good to see. I'm glad it wasn't, you know, nobody got hurt, so that's good.
Right. That's always the best like sign that no one got hurt. Obviously, right. No malice at the palace. No fans were involved.
No fans were involved, even though it's my favorite fight of all time.
I think it is mine too, or it's certainly one of them.
Right.
But I don't want to see fans get involved in, you know.
No, never good, right?
Nonsense. Yeah, yeah.
But no, I mean, I remember watching that live. Like, I wasn't in the arena, but watching it on TV live.
Right.
It was just insane calamity. And I remember that entire sequence of events vividly, from Ron Artest and Ben Wallace getting into it. And if you remember, Ron Artest prior all season had been getting these technicals for crazy stuff, like hitting people and like yelling at refs. And he was like really close to being suspended just for having so many technicals. Mm-hmm. And he was really trying hard, like, to be the calm version of himself. So what happened was he went and laid down on the scorer's table to get away from it all. And like, he was like meditating basically. And then someone chucked a beer on his head. And that was it. It was on from there.
I think maybe this is revisionist history. Maybe I have this a little wrong, but like, didn't he like beat up the wrong person?
Well,
like it was the guy next to him that threw.
Yes. Once the beer was thrown, he went into the stands and the wrong person, because the person who threw the beer was kind of like, oh crap. The person that was there egging him on, like, yeah, yeah, he got beat up. Yeah. And then Steven Jackson went into the stands,
right,
was throwing haymakers at people. Now, again, I don't know if you want to condone this violence, but there was a fan on the court, and my favorite moment of it is when Jermaine O'Neal comes flying in from off your screen, like you can't even see him, and this fan like was like squaring up with Ron Artest, because Ron had come back out of the stands. He was trying to get back to the locker room, and some fan was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, you want to fight? And like, Ron started squaring up with him, and out of nowhere, Jermaine O'Neal comes with like the most perfect punch you've ever seen in your life, right on this dude's jaw. And he like slipped on like a towel or a wet spot, and so all his body weight was like into the punch, and he like slid to the ground. It was like the craziest thing you've ever seen. But that is by far my favorite basketball fight of all time.
It's a good one. Certainly a good one, even though
we don't condone that sort of thing.
Right. Right.
But yeah, man. So we're getting this rolling. I've got the comments up. So if you guys want to leave us a Happy New Year's message, or you want to say Happy New Year's, you want to ask a basketball question, any of that, don't forget to leave a comment. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We're going to get right into this basketball thing. So starting with college basketball. You were telling me prior to coming on air, you had some strong feelings. They could be good. They could be bad. But strong feelings about one Caleb Love. And I have my own strong feelings about the prospect. Mm-hmm. And if anybody listened to our content throughout the draft season leading up to it, there were several things I kept saying about Caleb Love. And we'll see if they match up with Matt Hanifin's take in view. What did you see from the Arizona Wildcats?
Well, this is more so like I watched Arizona TCU. I will say, don't get mad at me, Wildcat fans. Just bear with me here. Last night was the first night that I locked into an Arizona game. I'm making my trips around the country with games that I'm watching and teams that I'm watching. It's a slow but steady process.
Right.
I'm not watching, 17 games a night about Minnesota Tech like you are. I'm making my way, around the country watching some college hoops. And so last night was like really the first night I locked in. Like I remember I had on the TV, what felt like eons ago was Duke in Arizona, but I wasn't like locked in.
Right.
So the last night was like the first, locked in game I've watched of Arizona this year. And so I was watching for KJ Lewis and Carter Bryant, just two guys who they're on draft boards. They're in Takeathon's top three. So it's like, I'll go in blind. I'll go watch.
Did you say top three?
Top 30.
Okay. I was going to say what? Okay. Go ahead.
They're like 26 and 28 or something like that. According to their current rankings, which I don't know if that's changed since last night or what,
but yeah.
If they're top three in my heart, no, I'm just kidding.
Right.
So I went to go watch Arizona, and Caleb Love, I didn't know this at the time, had his best game of the season, had like 33 points, 34 points, hit like five threes or some crazy number like that. Like, he was really good.
Right.
And so me being a naive dummy, I've had thoughts about Caleb Love before, just watching him at North Carolina and then last year at Arizona being like, you know what you're getting, and it's like the inefficiency. He just looks at the rim. It's tunnel vision, all that stuff.
Right.
The percentages are always really low. Like I was looking at it before. He shot 37% or worse in each of his first three college seasons. He shot 41.3% last year. And then I see his game last night. Like he was, you know, very efficient from the floor. And I was like, wow, I wonder if he's like improved his efficiency. Like maybe there's like another, you know, kind of leap in his game. No, not a single, like 42.6%. He was shooting 40.1% from the floor heading into last night.
Yeah.
He was shooting 31% over his first three seasons, shot 33% from deep last year. As a result of last night's game where he shot 5 of 11 from deep, he's shooting now 31.3% from three. Like, remember how, like, the LeBron James, like, 27-7-8 or whatever, or 27-8-7, whatever that crazy number is that he's always averaging but has never had a game of?
Right.
I wonder if that's just Caleb Love. Like, he's never had a game where he's shooting 41% from the floor or 31%. But like, can anyone look that up? I'm very curious. Has there been a game where he shoots exactly 41% from the floor and 31% from deep? Because he's been doing that for 4 years now. Or
pretty
five
much.
Years
like, I can look it up for you.
It's crazy. He's emulating greatness. just in a different way. I was like, I should have expected this. I didn't. I take full responsibility there for thinking Caleb Love may have improved his percentages. Not a bad college player. I hope he loves the G League just as much as I do.
Right.
That's my Caleb Love thoughts. But I was just like, wow, he's had a really good game tonight. Like he was cooking.
Right.
And then I look and it's like, oh, wait, it's the same percentages. It's the same efficiency. It's really the same numbers that you've seen really his entire college career. So I shouldn't be that surprised.
Right.
You know, water will always find its level of
energy. Water will definitely always find its level. I will say this. This is a really bad take. His efficiency has gotten better every year he's been in college from the field. Right. But the starting point of that is 31%. So it didn't really have very far. You know what I mean? Like, there's no other way.
Very low bar.
Caleb Love, very low bar. Yeah, very low bar. Never met a shot he didn't like.
No.
We were talking about this when it came to Pella Larson and Keshawn Johnson last year. And this is what really got it on my radar was like, man, he really shoots them out of games at times. Like, he just really shoots them out of games at times. I mean, his effective field goal percentage his freshman year was 36%. Not good. Now, he is a good free throw shooter. He's been in the 80s his whole career. But his three-point percentage, 32%.
It's the shot selection. Like,
it's exactly what it is.
Doesn't have the efficiency and the touch from deep.
Yep. Doesn't have the efficiency, the touch, and he never met a shot he didn't like, man. He will chuck it. And he acts like he's 6'6", 6'7". You know, like I should be shooting every time I can get my shot off on anybody. Like that's his mentality. When his mentality needed to be more like Isaiah Stevens and like I need to facilitate and shoot when I'm open. But I digress, and I got to throw in Isaiah Stevens.
Listen, you weren't gonna sneak that past me. you weren't gonna sneak that past me. There's like certain college guys, or really like any of these top guys that have irrational confidence at some point.
Right.
I think that just is Caleb Love. I to some degree, like I may not like it from like a, like if I'm evaluating a prospect and like, all right, how do I see this guy's future? Because again, I want all these guys to succeed. But like a big part of me respects it.
Yeah.
It's just like he's just hoisting whatever shot comes his way, which again, there's like a level of respect to that. You'd be like, all right, not sure how much that benefits KJ Lewis,
It doesn't.
Or Carter Bryant or anyone else on that team.
So how did you turn out on KJ Lewis? What were your conclusions on him? Because I have thoughts on him as well. I watched him early in the season, probably two or three games already. What were your thoughts on him?
I liked his, again, this is the first time watching him. I don't know. So I'd have to go back and watch like the, I want, at some point I do want to go back and watch like the Battle for Atlantis games.
Yeah.
But I liked what I saw defensively from him. Like, I think he has a good motor on that end. I don't know, like, I don't know if he's going to be like a great point of attack defender at the next level, but like he was certain, like you could see the effort, the disposition. He can get a little handsy. Like there were a few possessions where it's like in most college games and in most levels of basketball, right, this is going to get called for a foul because he is very handsy sometimes at the point of attack. But like, I don't know if that's, that could be something that's coached out of him at some point, but the effort, the disposition, all of that stuff was there. Offensively, he had 8 assists. I don't know if that's a season high or even a career high, because he's only been in college for 2 years, but
he doesn't facilitate nearly that well for his career. Not even close.
Right. And I mean, the shooting wasn't good. And so like that would be a question. I was looking this up earlier. He's just shooting like 21% from three this year or something crazy like that.
Like Ryan Dunn.
Low 30s last year. Sure. But like the form isn't bad. The weird thing with me just when I watched him shoot was like he has his body tilted to the left.
Right.
I mean, you're more well versed on, you know, the shooting doctor stuff than me. But like it to me, it never feels like his body is square.
Right.
And I think that can throw off accuracy just depending on your release point. And so like that to me was something that stood out. Maybe it's just nothing. But I think like he's a good free throw shooter. He's shooting like high 80s, I think.
Yeah.
From the free throw line. 80%. Like yeah. Like, so like maybe that's something, maybe it's just a blip in the radar or whatever the case is. Maybe that's something that will improve. I mean, he doesn't take many threes a game. Not to my knowledge, at least. He only took a few last night.
No, a couple a game.
And so, like, it's not like that's not like his only source of shooting, but he made some nice plays offensively. I just really liked what I saw defensively from him. He feels like a guy that, like, is comfortable playing in his role. Like, they said on the broadcast, I didn't know this before, again, watching this, but they said on the broadcast that they moved him to the bench, and or no, I don't know if it was he moved himself to the bench or they moved him to the bench, because, you know, Arizona was like I think a preseason top 15 team, and
right,
he was starting at the time, and then they moved him to the bench. So like he feels like a guy that's like, you know, comfortable in his role, like he's willing to do what it needs to take to win.
Oh yeah, he's a team guy.
I like. So like that's something that I like about him, and that's something that sticks out. Like he feels like a guy that at the next level, whether that's next year, whether that's in 26 or whatever it is, like it feels like a guy that can be like a complimentary player. Obviously you want to see strides in certain areas, but just from the little bit that I did see, I was impressed. It was something that like, okay, I can see this guy being, if he declares this year, like maybe an early second round pick, you know, considering how deep this class is, maybe even like a middle of a second round pick, like
right,
like that's, and someone could get like a functional potentially role player at the next level, but there's certain stuff that you want to see improve before you're willing to make that bet, willing to make that gamble as an organization.
Yeah, for me, his offensive game has to come around a little bit more, right. I think he needs to stay in school another year, but you're right about the defensive stuff. I mean, he's athletic. He's got good size, not great size, but good size for the position. He's definitely a willing defender. He moves his feet, has that sturdy body to defend multiple people. Just the offensive stuff, he's going to have to do more. If he can lean more into being one of those role players that also facilitate, that's really going to help him at the next level be able to find a role whenever he does declare. Because not everybody's going to be getting shots up. So you need a player like that that's going to be able to do the dirty work, provide you some scoring, get to the foul line a little bit, and facilitate and be kind of a hub. So we have Stephen Fine showing up. Thomas Sorber of Georgetown. Where would you draft him if they declare? Miami Heat Zone. Let's go. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. I'll get to your comment here, Stephen, in just a moment. Oh, wait. Derek Queen and Thomas. Okay. All right. Matt has some thoughts on one Derek Queen. So we'll talk a little Derek Queen here in a moment. So as far as KJ Lewis, I think he should stay in school, go back. If he comes out, he's going to be a second rounder, maybe bottom of the first if somebody sees the upside. Like what happened with, you know, Kayshon George. Could happen with Will Riley. Like Will Riley, I don't know. People have him really high, and it's all on potential because he has not shown much yet to justify that position on the draft board. But let's talk Derek Queen really quick. And Derek Queen is a big guy, but he's got skills to pay the bills. I mean, that guy is versatile in terms of his ability to handle at his size, to navigate with his footwork, body positions, angles. He's got a beautiful touch around the rim. A nice feel for going over that right shoulder using that left hand. Talk to me about one Derek Queen.
He's got so much skill. Like, the question was, where would I take him?
That was the question.
Middle of the first round. Like, I think that's perfectly fair. Like, I don't think I know when we did our initial, like, you know, top 10, I had him, I think it was 8 or 9, somewhere around then. That was also a byproduct of me not watching some of these other guys. But just the skill that pops off the page, like the ability to handle, I think, again, like whenever I've watched him, I think he's getting more comfortable with his in-between touch. Like, he's not necessarily a three-point shooter yet. Like, he'll take them every once in a while, but it's not consistent. But, like, his in-between touch, like, you know, around that 14 to 16-foot area, like, he's flashed that at certain points, too.
For sure.
To me, he's good with his hands defensively, but, like, the thing that I'm most worried about is the foot speed.
That's it.
Because he's not a nimble guy at all. Like, it's almost uncomfortable to watch him, like, move on a basketball court sometimes. Like, again, he's very skilled when he has the ball in his hands. And, like, that's why if I was an organization, like, if I'm just looking at the potential upside of that, like, you don't want to overthink it in that way. But there are some, like, very questionable things defensively, just from, like, okay, when you're going to get hunted consistently and drop, how are these reps going to go with your foot speed, your positioning,
right,
all that stuff? Because there was even a couple of times, I remember in the Purdue game, late in that game, where he was getting cooked by, I think it was Caldwin Wren.
Yeah.
Like, he was getting fried, and it was just like, I don't think that's the best sign in the world. No disrespect to Caldwin Wren, but, like,
right,
he's not necessarily, you know, a gifted offensive player. Maybe,
but he's also a freshman. Well, but so he isn't as gifted with foot speed. We know he's not blessed with foot speed. He's you know, what was I going to say? 6'10", 250 pounds. Foot speed is not his game. Skill is his game. He's going to have to learn how to use his body and body positioning better. His basketball IQ defensively is going to have to improve for him to be able to beat guys to the spot. He's going to have to work on that foot speed a little bit. But I think he's going to go in, like, the top 14, top 15. I don't think he's going to be past the middle of the first round. I think he's going to be in that top 15. He's just too skilled. And he has, like you said, legit size. It's not like he's a little guy. Now, his shooting. All right. I think you painted a rosier picture of his ability to shoot the ball than what it is. His 3-point shot is ugly.
Well, I'm saying his 3-point shot isn't the best, but, like, I'm talking about.
No, even further than that. It's even further than that. Like, he needs to, like, really work on his mechanics of his 3-point shot. It is horrendous. Horrendous. You know what he's shooting on the season on very, very low volume? Like, 1 a game.
I have it right here in front of me. It's not good.
No? What? 12% isn't good? Not good, Bob. Okay, good. Thomas Sober from Georgetown. I'll be honest with you, Steven. I have not isolated him yet. I've watched one or two Georgetown games. He seems to be a quality player to me, but I haven't had a chance to break him down yet. So I really can't give you a comment of where I think he'll go if he declares. But what I promise you I'll do is I will do a breakdown on him just for you. And I will let you know what my thoughts are in that video. And then we'll talk about it again on a future podcast of where he might go if he declares. But I have not broke him down yet. But I've seen good things and I've heard good things. But I just don't like to comment on other people's analysis. In fact, most times when I watch games, I watch them with the sound off. I don't want to get any influence from the announcers or anything like that. So Miami Heat Zone says, what should the Heat team do for the future with Jimmy Butler? I can't comment on any of that. I'll let Five Reasons Sports, who were contributors, handle the Miami Heat stuff. But what I will touch on, since you brought it up, is Kello Ware versus Eve Misi tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. This is something that I've been fired up for a multitude of reasons. Not just because our dear friend Eternal hashtag, he thinks he was right. Eve Misi's been balling. And not just a looter in a riot balling. I mean, affecting games. Even if they don't win, he's helping them stay in games with that decimated roster that the New Orleans Pelicans have. Yesterday, I can't remember his exact stat line, but I believe it was like 11 points. It was like 5 rebounds and like 5 blocks. Like, oh, and 5 assists or something like that.
Here, I'm pulling it up now.
Yeah, his stat line was like outrageous. I watched that game. He was affecting winning, and he had free throws down the stretch that could have tied the game. He made one and then missed the second. I feel bad for the kid because you could see the pressure building on him as he was about to take this free throw. And when he shoots this free throw, his form got all jacked up from his nerves. He was so nervous that like he like almost airballed it. Like it was a bad miss. It was a really bad miss. But he was blocking, pinning people off the glass. And it's Zubac. That's who it was. Zubac was the big he was going against for the Clippers. And Misi at 19, 20 years old has like grown man strength already. He was holding his own on the block with a grown man down there. Something Ware struggles to do for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, 12 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and 5 blocks, 4 of 7 shooting, 4 of 6 from the free throw line. Not a bad stat line. 35 minutes.
19th overall pick?
21.
Oh, 21st. That's it. Yeah, 21st overall pick. Not bad. I heard this was the worst draft class ever. That's what I was told. I pounded the table telling people otherwise, but I digress.
I wanted to ask you this. Once we got to the NBA portion of this, I guess we can just get to it now. If you were to pick, who would be your rookie of the year right now? Or wow. And also to follow up on that, who do you think it should, like, who do you think it will be?
Assuming
the season ended today.
If the season ended today, I would pick Eve Misi for rookie of the year. If it ended today, here's the reason why. Stephon Castle, I believe should be rookie of the year, but he's been relegated to the bench in San Antonio because Vassell came back from injury. I corrected myself. And so his playing time is really plummeted. I think he's going to fall out of the rookie of the year race if he doesn't get his playing time back up. Now, this could be by design. They're trying to save his legs a little bit, and so he doesn't run into that rookie wall. That could be it. But since I don't have a crystal ball, I can't see what's in the coach's head. If he doesn't get back the playing time back up, I could see it being Misi, because Misi, he's had the most impactful minutes of any rookie. I mean, Sar's playing in a situation where he gets a lot of minutes and he plays in an up-tempo offense, but he doesn't score a lot. His percentages haven't been great. The last 10 games, his three-point percentage is up to 40%, though. So Sar is a candidate. Stephon Castle's a candidate. Jalen Wells is a candidate. Who had that on their bingo card? But ultimately, if the season ended today, it would be Eve Misi for me. What about yourself?
I would probably lean Misi. I know, I think Edie also, I don't know if, I can't remember if you mentioned him. He deserves to be
in that
conversation somewhere.
Yeah. He had a couple of really good games. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's been wildly inconsistent because some nights he can't stay on the floor because he fouls or turns the ball over a lot. And then nights, whenever you put a 7 foot four guy with a 7'11" wingspan against the 6'8" front line of the Toronto Raptors, he scores 26 points and has 16 rebounds. So
I say this, this is a counterpoint to what I just said. The Grizzlies have played
30. The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks. Plus, you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Three games, and he's only played in 20 of them?
Yep.
And so, like, that's not even 60, that's not even two-thirds of your games that you've been available for, whether it's due to injury or whatever the case is. I know, I think he's out right now with a concussion.
Yep. And how many of those games, too, that he did play, did he have very little impact because of foul trouble? So you got to even deduct those games, hold those games against him.
Exactly. I do think I say that I looked it up earlier. He is the betting favorite.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, again, whether that's deserved or not, I would probably lean Misi because I'm with you. Like, considering how beleaguered that team has been that the entire season.
Right.
I mean, I know they're getting guys back now. Like, DeJounte's been back for a bit. Herb Jones is back. Trey Murphy's playing. Like, yeah, it's not Zion and Ingram, but like they're getting some guys back.
Right.
Because I know it's been just a rotating pile of injuries over there in New Orleans to start the season. He's been like one of their few bright spots this season.
Absolutely.
And so like I think he does deserve credence, and like he has been legit impactful even if they're not winning games. Now, I'd have to go back and look at the history of this, whether it's if the history backs us up, guys who are on teams that are on like among the worst in the league, like how many of them actually win rookie of the year?
Right. Like, that's the tough part.
I wonder how much of that is docked against him. I don't think it should be, but I'm just looking at from like a historical standpoint, like, okay, do voters actually take that into account historically? Like, has there been like a close race and one guy's team was better than another guy's team? Again, I don't think that's fair because it's rookie of the year. Like you're talking about the best rookie. And I think he's been the best rookie, but I wonder how many voters will actually hold that against him because of the team that he's on and the situation that he's in. Because at this point, New Orleans is like 5-28, and they're
right.
in line to get the number one pick or close to it. Like, it's been a really bad season there. Again, not all of those situations are created equally. That team was just been a mess with injuries. Like, they weren't projected to be this bad heading into the year.
Right.
But given the opportunity that he's had, I think he's more than taking advantage of it. And I think absolutely, that's huge. It's like you and I have talked about this plenty of times, how like Scott Drew did a really good job developing him throughout last season.
Yes. And he's only been playing basketball for 4 years.
Right. Like, Herb Jones was projected to be the starting center heading into the season. It's just like, that's not a good idea.
No.
Because Jonas left in free agency. He's in Washington now. And it was just weird to me that they didn't bring him back, but then they draft Misi and all these guys are getting hurt and he gets his opportunity and he's made the most of it.
Yeah.
I don't think you can hold that against him, regardless of the situation that they're in. But I'm curious to see. They see Memphis 2 seed, 3 seed in the West versus Misi bottom of the West.
Right.
I don't know.
But here's the thing about that. If you look at his actual statistics, and you know me in analytics, I'm not a, oh my God, this guy's the greatest analytic darling. He's got to be the best basketball player to ever live. That's not me. But if you look at the analytics on Misi, his percentages specifically, he's shooting 55% from the field, right? But he's only averaging like one turnover a game as a rookie that's super young and only been playing ball for 4 years. And he's your only big man. So when he rebounds, anytime he's taking the ball in those dribble handoff scenarios, he's making the right decision constantly. Mm-hmm. When he's rolling to the basket, which is hard, and he's playing hard, he's not just fouling or fumbling the ball away. He's got great hands, great feet. And those are all things that you got to take into consideration, not just stats and record. But if you look at his per 36, his numbers pan out to be a double-double, as well as turning the ball over less than twice a game. And he's giving you almost two blocks a game.
Let me just read you some numbers.
Sure.
And this is per Basketball Reference. Per 36 minutes, 12.6 points, 11.4 rebounds, 1.9 blocks. Nearly five of those rebounds are offensive rebounds in and of itself, which is a crazy number. And then
it's insane.
You just look at it. This isn't among rookies. This isn't the entire league. He is 18th in total rebounds, second in total offensive rebounds, 10th in total blocks. He's 17th in rebound percentage, third in offensive rebounding percentage, 11th in block percentage. Like, this is
rookie of the year stuff.
Excellent, excellent benchmark for it being your rookie year and you being in the top 10 in blocks, in the top 11 in block percentage, your offensive rebounding just as well as anyone in the entire league, or at least among qualified big men.
Right.
Or anyone. Like, that's, I understand he's played more games than some of these guys probably, but the percentage part is the crazy. Yes, again,
the percentage is
in total rebound percentage.
Yep. That's it.
Right.
It's not an accident. Third
in offensive rebounding percentage, 11th in block. Like, it, that's an excellent, excellent floor.
And it's not an accident. If you go back to our draft coverage the previous year, we talked about how special his motor is, how good his basketball instincts are and feel for the game. And that's why, again, we're not going to know for 3 or 4 years how this whole draft class plays out. But that's why I was pounding the table for him over Kello Ware, because Kello Ware has great tools, great natural length and athleticism. But there's just some things you got to have innately. And that's that motor, that heart, that hustle, that feel and basketball IQ. And that's something Eve Misi has in spades. But I don't want to make this the Eve Misi podcast. And we talked the entire time about Misi. I did want to touch a little bit more on some college basketball stuff. So we are going to careen back to the college basketball world. I wanted to ask you, out of Derek Queen, how far away is Derek Queen and Colin Murray Boyles? Because to me, they're very similar stylistically. One's a little bigger.
It's not a big gap.
Interesting. It is. It's what I asked. And so You're definitely right. And like numerically, it's not a big gap either. Like their numbers are almost identical. Right. I have concerns though about Colin Boyle's physicality for his size. I've watched him play a couple of times now, and there's some stretches of he's on the floor. I don't even notice him. I'm being serious. I'm like, oh, that's Colin Boyles. That's right. I mean, he's a little bit smaller. He's 6'7", 230 pounds compared to 6'10", 250 for Derek Queen. And he is skilled. I mean, he has an offensive package, but he's also limited defensively. He's limited in his foot speed. He's limited in his jump shot. I just have concerns because of the lack of size that I don't know if he's going to be able to have as big of an impact as Derek Queen would at the next level. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think if you're looking at something for Boyles, for him to be a functional player, is the shooting's got to come around.
Right. Definitely.
And that really hasn't yet. Like, more, I'm talking about like perimeter shooting.
Yeah.
Like it hasn't come around yet. Like he is a physical, like sometimes not a physical player. Queen is much more physical than he is.
Right.
I do think Boyles is more athletic.
Okay.
By
a little bit.
It's not a crazy gap, but I think there is some he's better defensively. He's more athletic.
Right.
But I think if you're just talking about the role that he would have in today's NBA,
yeah,
given his size and whatnot and the position, like I think that shooting has to come around.
I agree with that. No, I agree. He definitely has to have the ability to stretch the floor being 6'7". Because you know what he reminds me of? Not in the style of play, but just his college career and then what happened going to the pros. I'm going to screw up his name, but it's Horace Walker. Is that the guy from the Indiana Pacers? Number
Jairus
five.
Jairus Walker.
Jairus Walker. Okay. I always screw up.
Are you going to say Horace Grant?
Horace Grant. That's right. They're just alike. No, Derek Coleman. But anyway, whenever Walker was in college, he was considered a big. He had a little bit more off the dribble game, but he was considered a big. When he got to the league, he was a wing. Because he had to be. He hasn't been very good. I didn't think he was going to be very good coming out either due to these limitations he has. But Walker had to really lean into being a more perimeter-oriented player. My question is, can Boyles at the next level at his size operate primarily inside in today's NBA? Due to there was a lack of centers for a while, but now the league's gotten so much bigger. You got Wemby, you have Sar, you got Kling, you've got Edie, you've got Ware, you've got Misi. I could go on and on and on, but there's a lot of big guys coming back into the league. You think there's a space for him to excel if he doesn't have that jump shot, or is that his make or break to being out of the league?
It feels like a swing skill. Like he might be a rotational player just based on his rebounding, just based on what some of the stuff
like Thomas Bryant.
Totally. But again, I think the swing skill for him, like his, or at least the swing, if frame it in this context, the swing skill for his ceiling.
Right. That's a great way to phrase it.
Is his jump shot. And I was looking at, I was just curious what Walker was shooting at the next level, because I know he wasn't a shooter at all in college. 38.2% on 2.7 attempts per
game
from three this year.
Not bad.
But he's only shooting, it was funny, he was very, very low volume last year, 88.9% from the free throw line. On even, like, not even lower volume, on low, very low volume again this year, 61.5.
Right.
So the free throw shooting isn't good, but at least he has some touch from beyond the arc. That's, I think, just based on the math, that's accounting for over half his shot attempts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just an interesting tidbit. I know he was a little more seasoned, I believe, upon entering the league.
Walker?
Maybe not.
No, he only played 1 year. He was a freshman.
I was thinking of someone else. I was like, wait, yeah, he only did play.
But he only shot 66% from the free throw line and 4% from three, which is better than I thought he'd shot in college. But yeah, I mean,
like how many attempts?
Two and a half attempts.
Okay, that was more than I thought.
Right. And he was 6'8", 240. And this is why I'm talking, this is what I'm saying about Boyles, because Boyles is 6'7", 230.
Yeah.
When we come to draft time and we see people talking about why is Boyles falling in the draft, we might be able to come back and talk and point to this conversation. I'm being serious.
Clip it.
I'm telling you, this could happen. But one of the other things that was very intriguing to me is, have you had an opportunity? I know you watched one Boogie Flan game. Did you get an opportunity to watch any more of him or no?
Yeah, I watched him last night against Oakland.
Wow, you degenerate. How did that go? What are your thoughts on Boogie Flan?
He was good. It was kind of funny. He scored 23. I think he finished with 24 points. He scored 23 of his 24 points in the final 17 minutes. like his first half, he missed. I think it was his first six attempts.
Right.
Oakland plays like this matchup-ish 2-3 zone.
Right.
And so for him, at least at the start of the game, it was a little difficult for him to hunt his shot.
Like yeah.
He really wasn't hunting his shot all that much. Like, he had a few attempts where he was just open and he missed. He had an end of first half layup that he missed, contested layup. That was his really only like poor shot, so right. to speak, like that. But again, it was an end of half shot. Like, what can you really do about it? So like, there was a point early in the second half where they showed a pic where they put the frame on Cal and he was talking to Boogie. I think it was like during a free throw, like someone else's free throw or whatever. And it looked, Cal was in his ear about something.
Sounds.
I don't know if it was about him being more aggressive, but like from that point on, something clicked a little bit and he was hunting a shot a little bit more. You know, you knock down a couple of shots to see the ball go through the net and everything kind of opened up for him. Like, he hit a couple of threes down the stretch of that game. Like, he was good in that respect. I think the part that I liked about him just in that game, even when he wasn't struggling, that didn't really affect his defense or his playmaking.
Not at all.
Setting up his teammates.
Yep.
He was still defending, you know, 94 feet. He was still like getting up in people's grill and making it tough at the point of attack. Like, that was something that I liked about him. And he didn't really seem like phased at all. He just wasn't aggressive.
He doesn't get phased at all. That's what I love about that kid. He does not get rattled. Have you noticed how quick his hands are defensively? Have you had an opportunity to?
I haven't honed in on that specific part, but like,
oh my goodness,
they're quick.
He's got really quick hands. And he's quick. Really good in the passing lanes too.
Right.
So that kid, I like him a lot. I don't feel like he gets enough of the publicity in the college basketball space, because you have people like Dylan Harper, Cooper Flag, you have all these other top shelf freshmen that kind of overshadow him, Trey Johnson, and even Yakachonis. But man, I really like Boogie Flan, and I really like what I've seen from him. Somebody in the 2025 draft is going to get a steal whenever they draft that kid.
I had him 9 in my top 20, right? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Tankathon again, has him 18th.
A very fluid draft board. I've said it on here. I'll say it again for people who are watching this for the first time. I suck at draft boards. I am the worst. I can't make up my mind. I'm so indecisive. I'll have one guy 7th, and then the next time I'll have him 17th.
That's okay. I'm good at draft boards, so
yeah,
it'll all work out.
You helped me out with the one last year with like, we did one right before the draft about who I want the Heat to take, and I was just like,
I have no clue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a tiers guy.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do one of those. We're gonna have to do a tiers podcast because you're good at those.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm better at them because it's like, all right, I have these, you know.
Right.
Obviously, like, I'm just, for example, like, I have, you know, players 3 through 6 in the same tier. You can shuffle them up a couple of different ways depending on what your preference is on skill and whatnot. But, and then I have the next tier guys. And then the next tier. Like, Like, I think that's a better way for my brain to compute this stuff. But no, I had Boogie high. Again, I said this when we did our top 20.
So we're gonna play a little game. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, I trust guards to play with Calipari.
Yeah,
like they develop. Like, obviously, last year with Dillingham was a little bit of a different story, just based on the lack of size and everything, and like projecting that to the next level. That was a little bit of a different case study. But with Boogie Flan, like, I don't know what his measurables will come out in terms of like wingspan or whatever.
He looks like he has long arms.
Yeah, and to your point earlier, I wonder if people aren't talking about him enough because of his size.
That could be it, because he's only 6'2".
Relative to some of those other guys.
Well, let me ask you this. So we'll play a little game. Tankathon has him 18th. We're going to go through the guys above him. And the game is, would you take Boogie Flan over?
Okay.
All right.
Don't say it. Are you going to say international guy? I still haven't.
Well, the very first guy I'm going to say is Liam McNeely. Would you take Boogie Flan over Liam?
Probably.
I absolutely would. Now, that being said, Liam's been playing better lately. He's been very efficient from the field, hitting his threes finally, because that's what he's known for. So he's been playing better. I got to lay off Liam a little bit now that he's starting to play a little bit better. We'll skip Ben Scarf because you haven't watched him play. Drake Powell, Boogie Flan or Drake Powell?
I'm taking Boogie Flan. Come on.
All right. I already knew the answer to that one, by the way. Will Riley or Boogie Flan?
I'm taking Boogie Flan.
I would absolutely take Boogie Flan as well.
Will, again, I've said this before. I have to watch more Illinois, and I have to watch more, one for Yakachonis. I have to watch more North Carolina. Sorry, Major, if you're watching this, I don't care to watch North Carolina all that often. I just don't think Drake Powell and Will Riley should be players that come out this year.
Yeah.
That's just like my very initial hot take. If it's even a hot take. I don't know if it's a hot take or not in the draft community.
No, but I agree with you. And I'm putting a poll up right now. Is Boogie Flan underrated? Is what I'm putting in for the chat. But I agree with you. I want to watch some more of Will Riley, even though I've watched 5 Illinois games already. But I've been...
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, I just zero in on Yakachonis. But what I was going to say is Will Riley averages 12 points a game, and I don't know how.
Well, that goes to my point. Like, you've watched 5 Illinois games. Yeah, you lock it on one player, but you don't even notice Will
Riley. No, you don't notice him. He's shooting 40% from the field and 35% from three. I mean, I guess the one thing I'll give him credit for, he doesn't turn the ball over and he doesn't foul. But the not fouling isn't because he's playing good defense. The not fouling is because he's not aggressive enough defensively and physical enough defensively.
Yeah, and the thing was, is when I watched, I can't remember what game this was, so I apologize for not remembering the exact matchup.
It's all right.
But to me, he looked overwhelmed by physicality. Like, again, he's very young. And so, like, you know, you pack on strength as time goes on. Like, that's something that he's going to have to do, and all these guys are going to have to do. But
he's very young, but so is Yakachonis, and he's built like Captain America.
Right, but you know most of these guys aren't like that coming out. And so, like, he's going to be a guy that's going to have to, you know, pack on a bunch of
strength. Yeah, yeah. No, I get it.
Part of the reason why I would have him come back for another year. I know
for sure
pro training facilities are better than college and whatever, but just to get him more reps and
but I mean if GMs are really thinking about taking him in the top 15, you gotta leave.
That's a very fair counterpoint. We won't know that at all because we're not talking to GMs, but we won't know like what that kind of intel looks like until, you know, the combine comes around and whatnot.
Right.
But you're right. That is very true. If he is hearing something about going, you know, top 15 in the lottery, then yeah, you got it. But, and that very well might be the case. Like, there might be GMs You know, all I say this to people all the time, like every single GM, every single organization thinks about these players differently.
I agree.
And so there might be a team or two being like, I really like this Will Riley guy.
Right.
They're hearing something from their scouts or they're self-evaluating or whatever the case is. They're like, I really like this guy. And so that might ultimately be the case, but we on the outside won't really get a good grip of that until the weeks leading up to the draft, when guys are, you know, retracting their name and whatnot.
No doubt about that. I'll ask you two more names and then we'll stop because I know he's not getting any higher than this. Colin Murphy Boyles, Murray Boyles, or Boogie Fland?
Boogie.
Asa Newell or Boogie Fland?
Boogie.
Oh, really? That's a tough one, dude. That's a tough one. I like Boogie a lot, but man, Newell's 6'10", fluid mover, but he's only 205 pounds. He's got to put some muscle on.
That's the reason.
But he is explosive. Derek Queen or Boogie? We're getting into high territory.
Part of this is also like what would my team need?
True.
I mean, that goes in all this stuff.
But we're not playing that game. Yeah. Our game is strictly prospect.
I'm trying to contextualize something that shouldn't be contextualized.
Right.
I don't know, man. Queen is so
tough.
Skilled.
Yeah, it's tough.
He's so skilled. Like it makes it hard to go, especially in today's day and age.
Right. We'll stop. We'll let you give you a pass. Bottom line is you've reached the top 11 and Boogie Fland is somewhere in that vicinity. So that's an indictment on how low he is on Tankathon and how he's viewed around the country, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the other names. Edgecombe.
Yeah, he's not going above those guys.
I think I would take... Would I take him over Edgecombe? I don't know.
So now we're talking about like upside, uber upside. Like,
yeah.
Because you're rolling the dice.
I
like Boogie Fland a lot, too. I agree with you. I like him a lot.
I think even though he's a smaller guy, I think there's something to be said about him being a two-way player.
I agree. But Edgecombe also is a two-way player. And one's way more athletic than the other.
I don't really think of Edgecombe as a two-way guy. Maybe I just haven't watched him enough yet.
Oh, because you don't think the offense is there?
I don't think it's quite there.
Yeah. He's also a guard.
He's
a guard. He's a guard that's averaging almost a block and a half per game and 2.5 steals per game.
Right. I was going to say the defense is better than Boogie's defense. So maybe that's the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
In my own head.
And Boogie's good at defense. Like, that's the thing. Right. Yeah.
Edgecombe is so athletic, so I'd probably still lean Edgecombe, but I had to think about it. There's a reason why I think they're like back to back in mind.
Right. I can't wait for tournament time. I can't wait for the NBA combine so we can see these guys all on the same floor. Now, you're not going to see the top 15 at the combine. But just a lot of these other guys. Maybe you'll see a guy or two. Who was that? Didn't Dalton Connect show up at the combine? Who showed up at the combine this year?
I mean, guys are, you mean playing the scrimmages?
Yeah,
the
scrimmages.
I think everyone plays, or everyone is at the combine, or at least.
Yeah, I apologize.
Like, not international guys.
Yeah, I meant the scrimmage. That's correct. I meant the scrimmages.
I don't think Connect plays.
Somebody higher up. No, that was... No, never mind. That was a different guy. But I did get to see Misi at the scrimmage. Misi, no, was he at the scrimmage?
I don't know if he scrimmaged.
Now
it was
the guy
that we liked was Chomsky.
Oh, Chomsky was at the combine. Bonet was at the combine. Oh, Baylor Shireman was at the scrimmage.
Yeah.
So there were some players in the first round, bottom of the first, that were at the scrimmage. So I don't think Boogie will be there. I don't think Edgecombe has a chance of being there, but I do. I can't wait for tournament time to see these players in pressure packed, high stakes situations to see what they're really made of. And that's what my final evaluations really go off of a lot. How much do they improve from the beginning to the end of the season? What do they do in the tournament? Because the tournament holds a lot of weight for me in these evaluations. I know we didn't get to a lot of NBA stuff. We kind of careened all over the place because we answered some fan and viewer questions, which I don't mind at all. But I'm going to leave it here. Before I do, Matt, tell these people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH underscore 824 underscore. That's where you can find me at on Twitter. You can find me at VendettaSportsMedia.com, HotOutHoops.com, MountainWestConnection.com, all those great places, along with Playback.tv /5RSN, where you can see Adele and myself talk about the Heat, watch the Heat on a game-by-game basis, cry about the Heat, laugh about the Heat. Whenever Thomas Bryant did stuff, even though he's no longer there.
Oh, man. One of the funniest. If you guys haven't seen the clip of Thomas Bryant attempt to go from half court to the rim in 1.9 seconds, it is the funniest thing you'll ever see in your life. But
or in that same game when he took the sidestep three. The step back airball. For whatever
three.
Reason. Like, it wasn't even like a late in the shot clock. Like, no.
No, he just felt good, man. He was feeling himself.
Yeah, listen, he's just a chill guy, as the kids say nowadays.
Just a chill guy. But man, I appreciate you. You can find me at Digital Adele on any of the social media sites, on Twitter, on Blue Sky, Instagram, all that under Digital Adele. This is Hoops Profile, the Beyond the Backboard podcast, our College to the Pros segment. This will be going forward through the draft, this segment. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we'll be live, so tune in with us, chat with us, send us your questions about prospects. I'm always interacting and talking with people on Twitter, on YouTube, in the comments. So don't forget to like and subscribe. I'll see you next time.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.